Well, Happy New Year to everyone on at the fellowship there and also on the conference call. I thought a really appropriate topic for this very first day of January is newness of life and how we have newness of life, but we can give others newness of life too. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And I love the manifestations because when you talk about having a new life, God said he's prepared a wonderful future for us. And he does. He prepares the path for us to walk in, and we're going to see a little bit about that today. But I want to start in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. And there's an idiom here about walking, and I always love to think about how our lives are this walk. They're not a run. They're not a jump. They're not a like a flying leap into, and they're also not a ballet dance where you have to have very specifically developed muscles in order to be able to walk. Everybody can walk, you know, from the youngest to the oldest. We can all walk. So this is what Romans 6:4 says, and I'm reading mostly from the Aramaic translation today. We are buried with him in baptism to death, that as Jesus Christ rose up from the dead in the glory of his Father, so we will also walk, in other words, live a new life, or in newness of life, is what King James says. As Jesus rose up from the dead, it's a picture, like we were raised with him. When he died, we died with him. But when he was raised, we were raised with him. And the purpose of this raising and of the resurrection is so that we can walk in this new life. Go ahead and turn over to chapter 7 and verse 6. We're going to learn about what this new life is all about here. But now we are absolved from the law, and we are dead to that which was holding us captive. So when we got raised from the dead, we also were freed from everything that was holding us captive, which was partly had to do with the law, that from now on we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the writing. So what this is saying is that the new life we have, the newness of what we have when we were raised from the dead too, is because of the Spirit. The new creation within us is the Spirit. And out of that, we serve. And this is the main thing I wanted to share today, is that our new life, this life ahead in 2023, it is about serving out of this new creation that we have and walking in this new life that we have. And in order to do that, Jesus told a parable about how we need fresh wineskins. So look over at Luke 5 and start in verse 36. There's two different illustrations here in the parable. And 36 starts out, he told them a parable. Oh, good. Now we do know that. So no one cuts off a piece of cloth from a new garment and lays it on an old garment, lest he cuts off the new and the patch that is from the new does not repair the old. I've done this before. I don't know if any of you ever had jeans like in the early 60s and mid 60s. It was fun to have jeans that had patches on them, and the more patches you had, the better it was. But if you put a new piece of jean on an old section, it would tear off pretty fast. So that's a pretty vivid illustration of how you can't put a new part of your life onto the old part unless you are matching it. So he goes on and explains it a little bit more, verse 37. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, lest the new wine will burst the wineskins, and the wine should be poured out and the wineskins ruined. So not only is the wine ruined, but the wineskins are ruined too. On the contrary, they put new wine into new wineskins, and both of them are preserved. Both the wine and the wineskins are preserved that way. But then verse 39 is really interesting. It says, and no one drinks old wine and immediately desires new, for he says, the old is delicious. So I just think this is a perfect illustration of how we, when we walk forward in newness, like where there's new revelation, there's new plans ahead, there's new things to do. It's not that we get rid of the old, too, because the old is delicious. There's another verse that explains this in Matthew 13. And it's a different parable that Jesus was talking about. But in verse 52, he said to them, because of this, every scribe who is instructed for the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man who is a master of a house who brings out from his treasures the new and the old. So it's not like when we're talking about newness of life, it's not like everything that we've learned, everything we've experienced, how we've learned to listen to God, things that he's told us, how the giftings work in each individual. None of those things are what you're supposed to just throw away. But out of your treasures, you bring the old and the new. And the new part is the walking by the Spirit today and serving by the Spirit. So I want to go and look at 2 Corinthians 5. It's our ministry, our job, basically, in life is to serve, and we serve by way of the Spirit. And when we need new wineskins, then the new wineskins will be there. But we don't get rid of the old completely when it has been part of walking by the Spirit too. So let's look at this in light of what I'm talking about. And this section is pretty familiar to everybody, but I think it shows how we serve by way of the Spirit. Verse 17, everyone who is in Christ is therefore a new creation. That's what we've been talking about, is that we can walk in new life. Old things have passed away. Our former life before we were born again is what's talking about. And everything has become new from God, who reconciled us to himself in Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And when you study the word reconciliation, it's so beautiful because there's the part about how we're brought back in alignment with God. And when we were born again, that's what he did. He gave us the Spirit so that we could have a relationship with him again. But we're brought back to that alignment so that we can be shepherded by God. The word in Aramaic for reconciliation has to do with shepherding. God is a shepherd, and the Lord Jesus is our chief shepherd. And together they guide us and lead us to those green pastures, the still waters, all of those things. That's part of God's plans that he does for people. And then he's given us that the service of reconciliation. And you go on and you read more about it. It's verse 19, for God was in Christ, the one who reconciled the world with his majesty and did not count to them their sins. He placed in us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors on behalf of Christ. And it is as if God were begging you by way of us on behalf of Christ. Therefore, we beg you, be reconciled to God. Come, there's new life ahead. Come, be shepherded by God. He will lead you. He will guide you. He has plans for you. That's the message we have to give to people, too, is that they can be reconciled to God. Verse 21 ends there with, for that one who had not known sin, he was made to be sin on your account, or a sin offering, that we would become the justification of God in him, or the righteousness in him. Part of this new life that we can walk in is righteousness, where we're free from condemnation and free from guilt and have so much to be able to give to people because of those things that God has given to us in Christ. We have this wonderful word of reconciliation to share, and that's part of our service. It's part of how we walk in the new creation. Galatians 6:15, I was reading the NET version, and it's really cool, just this one verse. It says, for neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that matters is a new creation. It's like there's an ellipsis in there. Circumcision, the law, uncircumcision, how we were brought up, it counts for nothing. The only thing that matters is the new creation. And so I would add to that is the only thing that matters is that our new life is characterized by serving by way of the Spirit. I mean, you guys sang that song about, I will follow the Savior, you know, hasten to him. Hasten to him for what? To find out what his plans are, how he wants us to go, what does he want us to speak. There's so much about just walking ourselves, but what I'm trying to bring out is that part of the walking is not just for you, it's not just for me. I mean, I think that's awesome that God has plans for us, and you know, now that we're living here in Colorado Springs, I don't know exactly what all the plans God has for me and for Glenn too, and for, you know, how we should walk this life out. But the cool thing is that I know that as long as I follow the Spirit and I basically hold really tight to God's hand, he will guide me and show me, as well as he will give me words to speak. He will, you know, introduce me to people I've never met before, all kinds of wonderful things. So I just thought that was a really wonderful thing to think about today, that we can walk every day in a newness of life. We can start out the day fresh to go, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to speak? Who do you want me to call? Where do you want me to go? And he will be so faithful to guide us in that service. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The reason why it has to be by the Spirit is because it's only by the Spirit that people get life. It's newness of life, right? But we're talking about spiritual life. Verse 4 says, and we have such confidence in Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient to think anything as though from ourselves, but our power is from God, who made us worthy to be ministers of the new covenant, not by writing or not by the law, but by the Spirit. For writing kills, but the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit is the thing that gives life. So that's what we need to focus on walking by in this new road, that new life that we're going to walk in for this coming year. Now look at Hebrews 10, because it talks a little bit more about this road that we're walking on. Verse 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19. We have, therefore, my brothers, boldness in the entering of the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, and a way of life. That word way there means a road, like a road of our life, that is now made new for us by the veil that is his flesh. The veil that it's talking about there is the veil that was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And when Jesus died, he made the way, and he was raised from the dead, he made the way, the road, into the Holy of Holies plain so that every believer could have boldness in entering into the sanctuary. So the road was made new for us by the veil. But now here's part of the road, too. We have a high priest over the house of God. Therefore, we should come near. We should come near to the Holy of Holies with a steadfast heart and with the confidence of faith, our hearts being sprinkled, and pure from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, the invitation to come into God's presence is constantly part of this road of new life that we have. But now it goes on and tells us a little bit more. We should persist in the confession of our hope, and we should not waver, for he is faithful who promised us. I was very appreciative of the sharing that Bob did the other day, talking about that chapter in Ephesians from my book about our spiritual treasure. Because, and he had mentioned this verse, see, that part is not only about our relationship with God, it's about the confession of our hope to others around us. It's part of our service. And we should not waver, for he is faithful who promised us. And then the next verse goes on and says some other things that we can do as part of our service. We should gaze on one another with an encouragement to love and good works. And that's what that word provoke that Bob was talking about, kind of a oxymoron about provoking someone is really an encouragement. But when we gaze on one another, what do we see? We see the Christ in the person. And it's so cool when you meet a new Christian that you hadn't known before, and you look into their eyes, and it's so amazing because it's like the Christ in you responds to the Christ in them, and you go, I know you. I don't even know anything about you, but I know you because you have Christ in you too. And it's so easy then to just walk in love and speak things that are encouraging. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things, too, that this coming year, if you talk about doing resolutions, is to speak words of encouragement to one another. What the world needs is so much encouragement, and not just the world, but all the believers need encouragement, too. And it's saying to encourage one another to love and to do good works. It's not just good works. But just to encourage one another to love. And love never fails, right? So the next verse tells some more things in verse 25. And we should not forsake our assembly, as is the custom for some, but we should desire to be with one another, especially the more you see that day approach. Especially because we know that the day of Christ's return is coming. It could be today. It could be right now. We see it approach. But because we see it approach, that's why we want to be able to more and more spend time with each other, not just in a church setting and not just necessarily in a fellowship, but to spend time with one another, desire to be with one another. Why? So we can help to encourage so we can love, so but we can also walk by the Spirit to really, really help people. Because it's by that new creation that we live and breathe and walk this road of life. And I think that that is also just a, you know, it just could be a wonderful resolution, is to not forsake the assembly of people together and look for those places where we ask the Lord to say, you know, where's my road today? Who do I get to be with? Who do I get to talk to? Who do I get to bless? And as part of that, you know, we're saying, be reconciled to God. Here's the road. Here's how to go there. Here's how you can walk in new life too. And the other thing that God had said in the manifestations is that the Holy Spirit is there to guide you, and that's how you know what the plans are that He has for you. I think that the other thing that the Spirit does, and this is in Ephesians chapter 1, when we talk about the new creation and how Holy Spirit within us is this beautiful new creation, it's also the guarantee of our inheritance. And Romans 8 talks about how we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Well, that's the future, but it's also now, actually, where we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ had by way of the Spirit is the fullness of the Spirit that we have. We are joint heirs with Him. And so everything that He did, everything that He said, how He said it, how He walked in love, how He was kind, how He was gentle. I think The Chosen has, it does, the movie The Chosen does really portray His kindness, Jesus' kindness, and His care for each individual. There's some pretty cool lessons to learn from that movie. But anyway, Ephesians 1, verse 13, it says, in Him also, you heard the word of truthfulness. You heard the word of reconciliation, which is the gospel of your life. It's the good news of your life. And in Him, you believed and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit that was promised, which is the guarantee of our inheritance to the redemption of those who have life and to the glory of His honor. We have this guarantee of Holy Spirit to be able to walk by, but it's not just for us. It's for everyone in the body of those who have life, and the purpose of it is to the glory of God's honor and majesty, because He's the one who gave it. He gave us the fullness of the Spirit of Christ. So when we walk and when we serve by way of that Spirit, then we walk on this new road, this newness of life, a way of life that was made available because of what Christ did. But now the point is just to walk in it, to live in it every day, and to really rejoice that we get to bring glory and honor to our Father. So that's what I wanted to share a little bit, but I wanted to end with something that Hauk Robert Hitchcock wrote today. And I think it's so appropriate, because it's just basically an encouragement to walk out today. Like, go for it today. Don't wait around till tomorrow. Don't wait around till, it, you know, you think you've got it all together or you know exactly how it's all supposed to unfold. It's like, you take one step at a time, walking today. So this is what he shared. I think it'll bless you if you didn't get to read it already. It's, we ain't waiting for tomorrow. Yes, a new year is waiting for us to embrace all of its possibilities. Yet today is a miracle day all in itself. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of deliverance. This is the day of being loved. This is the day of fulfillment. Today, we are more than conquerors. Today, we are fully supplied. Today we are energized and blessed. Today we are hopeful. Today we are beloved of God. I could have read all those verses today too about the new creation. We ain't waiting for tomorrow because today has so very many possibilities. Healing, physically, mentally, abundance, full, overflowing. Beloved, I wish above all things today that thou mayest prosper and be in health. The Lord is paying attention today. The Lord is working for you today. The Lord has plans for you today. Pour out your heart. Reach for his hand. Rest in his love. He understands. Let's begin faith today. Let's begin trust today. Let's begin hope today. Today we know that the answer is coming. Today we know that he is watching and caring. Today we know our answer is secured and moving towards us. We ain't waiting for tomorrow because today is such a fine, fine day. Tomorrow will be awesome just like today. Our new year will be filled to capacity with a series and collections of great todays. Let's give thanks today. Let's rejoice today. Let's love today, for love can't wait for tomorrow. The Lord is always watching, always caring, always loving, always there. Yes, today is the day. I will be glad and rejoice in it. God bless you all.